I wanted our time in God's Word this morning to actually be first, because I think it's going to fill us with a sense of gratefulness, so that when it then comes time for us to sing with the praise team and then also with the hymn that we have toward the end, that it's just going to flow from us, that our hearts will be full with praise and thanksgiving because of salvation. I have to admit that people have asked me about this. Would you like to always have like this time in God's Word first? And actually, no, I get filled up. I actually appreciate the fact that I have a chance beforehand to be able to sing, to be able to pray, all the things that we typically do in our service beforehand. But before I come into the pulpit, that's what I usually like. But this morning, because of the subject of what it is, I thought, what a great lead in this would be to our time of singing and worship. And we say that all of it's worship, right? We say all of it's worship. The whole service is worship. It's not, I don't want to make the mistake that some people do where they call the time in singing worship. The whole thing is meant to be worship. But I thought that for that time in song, that this would be a great lead in. We're going to look at salvation together this morning, but we're going to look at it a little bit differently. And that's why I've actually called it, instead of using the word salvation, what I have put is what the Bible says about rescue. Because I think that's a good way to think of it. If you want to get a well-rounded view of salvation, one of the ways is to realize that there are some different terms that essentially mean the same thing in Scripture. And depending on Bibles, if you compare Bibles with some of the passages that we'll go over, they may actually use these different words. So rescue is one word. Salvation, obviously, is another. And then deliverance is yet another. So this morning, God's amazing rescue, God's awesome deliverance, His great salvation, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we spend time in God's Word. Now, where people usually think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what people usually think about when they think about salvation is where we're going to start this morning, and that is His rescue in the life to come. Each of us is given a certain amount of time on earth. We don't know how long that is. I can't tell you how many times, again and again, I have seen where someone's life seemed to be cut shorter than people thought. Or out of nowhere. You can have, there was with the Nationals playing baseball, this was about a week or two ago, just somebody coming out of the stadium. They had heard what they believed was a gang gunfire. Person wasn't involved in the gang life at all, was simply there for the baseball game, was coming out to get into an Uber to leave a little bit early, and was struck by one of the bullets in the crossfire and died. So we don't know. We don't know how many days we are given. God does. But we will all pass on to the next life. And we will all be evaluated. We will all be judged. So Scripture indicates that it is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in charge of that judging. So why do we need His rescue? Why do we need His rescue in the life to come? You all know, it's because, like Scripture says, Romans 3:23, it's because we have all sinned. Many of you that are here from week to week know that I enjoy comparing numerous Bibles as I prepare for my messages. And you may know that I have two favorite simple English Bibles written at a very simple English level, and they're really helpful many, many times. One is the International Children's Bible. The other is called God's Word. If you see it in certain apps, it'll just be GW, God's Word, or we also call it the God's Word Translation. But as I looked at, even in those simple English Bibles at Romans 3:23, even those simple English Bibles have the word sin. And we just had Sports Camp VBS. That's why I'm wearing the shirt. The youngest kids that we had at Sports Camp were 4 years old. If you think about our Sunday school classes and when Pioneer Clubs starts back up in the fall, we teach kids that are even younger than that. So we might ask these young children, do you know what sin is? And they might. They might say it's doing bad things, right? Some kind of simple definition like that. I often try to remind us as a church family that sin is not just doing bad things. It's not just the wrong things that we do, but it's also the wrong things that we say. It's the wrong things that we even think. And according to Scripture, if you understand this in Scripture, it's also not doing the things, not saying the things, not thinking the things that we should. All that is sin. Another way that you can explain sin to someone, and sometimes it depends on how religious they are, or if they're so used to church, you know, and they left church. Sometimes it's good to help people to think about even something as basic as sin in a different way. And sometimes I find it's helpful to define sin this way. It's doing what we want as opposed to what God wants. Because some people will automatically go to the worst of things. And it's a lot more subtle than that. So this is why we're all in the same boat. Youngest to oldest, richest to poorest, we're all in need of God's rescue in the life to come, because there is judgment coming and none of us can stand before the Lord on our own. So we have the famous John 3:16 that a lot of people know by memory in one version or another. The next verse, John 3:17, says this in the New Century Version: God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world guilty, but to save the world through him. So some will just use the word judge, some will just use the word condemn. New Century Version says judge the world guilty. And what they mean by that is that as judge, he will declare the verdict in that day of guilty. That's what that means. So in the life to come, at the coming judgment, Jesus will provide rescue from being declared guilty from those who have followed him in faith. Paul is speaking to believers in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, when he says this in the New Living Translation: and since we have been made right, speaking to Christians, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. He will save us. He will rescue us. There are times that maybe we don't want to think about that judgment part, you know, quite so much. And there will be a different judgment, a different type of judgment for believers versus non-believers in Christ. But sometimes we, even as Christians, we want to kind of skip that judgment part, go right to thinking about heaven. And that's actually okay. Paul did that too. Toward the end of his life, maybe when he was more aware of his death, the Apostle Paul said this: the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and take me safely to his heavenly kingdom. It's in the International Standard Version. So that says take me safely. Every other version says either take me safely or bring me safely. Literally, it says he will save me. He will save me to his heavenly kingdom. So the Lord's rescue in the life to come is going to take us to heaven. Amen? Okay, so we can rejoice in that. The Lord will rescue us and take us to himself in heaven. We say thank you, Lord, for that. When we talk about getting saved or being rescued, it's always good to sort of logically follow that through and say, saved from what? Rescued from what? During these months, we have a lot of people going to beaches. Maybe that beach has a lifeguard. That lifeguard can rescue you. He can save you from undertow if you're caught in that. We've had people serving as firefighters, some right now. When they go to a place, they can rescue someone. They can save them from a fire, from a fire burning down their house. So when we talk as a Christian about getting saved, same thing. It's the same thing. In general, this is what we're going to say. We are saved from, we are rescued from the penalty of sin. And when we talk about penalty, we're talking about that coming judgment. We're talking about that coming condemnation. In other words, we're talking about hell. We are rescued from, we are saved from hell. And that's where many people go to when they think about salvation. This is where our minds go. We think about that eternal rescue, rescue from the penalty of sin, rescue in the life that is to come. And it's fine, you know, that we think about that future rescue, because this is what Christ's sacrifice was for. Scriptures are clear about that. We get rescued, we get saved from this eternal separation that's going to come eventually after judgment and condemnation, an eternal separation from God. But if that's all we think about with salvation, if that's all we think about with God's rescue, we're shortchanging ourselves from a blessing that God provides for us, but we're also denying God some glory because we're not realizing another great way that God is great, another kind of rescue for which we should be thankful. So we're going to talk about that other way soon, but to kind of lead up to it, I want to have you think about a couple of titles for God. And they're the titles for God that would be related to these words of rescue and salvation and deliverance. So you can come up with these as easily as I can. One that I came up with was Deliverer. In the song, You Are the Everlasting God, it mentions strong deliverer, right? So we associate that title of deliverer for God. But then the even more common one that people would be used to is that God's our savior. That's the other title. So deliverer, savior, we think about those titles. So as we get ready to think about then the kind of rescue that God does in this other area, think about those two titles of deliverer and savior. So here's the question. Is the Lord Jesus Christ only deliverer? Is he only savior because of rescuing us from coming judgment? And the answer is no. No way. The Lord wants to show himself. This is what we need to get down really on a daily basis into our heads. The Lord wants to show himself to be our deliverer and to be our savior way before then in this life, over and over and over. He wants to demonstrate himself as deliverer and savior in this life so that we understand him better and so that he gets more glory as we thank him for that. So now we're going to go ahead and talk about salvation or rescue, the kind that is less talked about, and that is his rescue in this life. I'm hoping that what we're about to mention is really going to be a huge help and an encouragement to us, and that it's also going to help us to understand certain passages of the Bible better too. And I'm going to give you an example from the Old Testament. This is in the Psalms. Kind of longish, but David talking to God, writes to God in Psalm 35, "Contend, Yahweh, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me, fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of buckler and shield," these parts of armaments, right? "And rise up for my help. Draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation." So I think it's helpful if where it has that word at the end, I'm your salvation, I think it's helpful if we put in the word rescue instead. David is not talking about eternal judgment or heaven in this passage. He's talking about God rescuing him in this life, about saving him from the bad situation, the deadly situation that he was in. Life in Christ is meant to be the same way. Life in Christ is meant to be the same way. The Lord is our Savior. He is our deliverer, and he wants to show himself time and time again as that in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. We're going to go ahead and look at some New Testament verses that go along with that really briefly. Galatians 1:4, talking about in context the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins so that he might take us to heaven, that he might rescue us from hell. Those things are true, but that's not what this verse is pointing out. It says so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, or as the New Century Version puts it, from the evil world we live in. I was talking to somebody recently, and they said that they often avoid the news, don't like watching the news because of how bad it is, because it's constantly conveying these things that seem to be so horrible. Does anybody here have any doubt of how much evil is in the world? No, nobody has doubts about those things. Does that evil that's in the world, does it affect you and me? Yeah, all the time. And so the Lord Jesus wants to rescue us from this present evil age just as much as he did with the Galatian believers. In Matthew chapter 8, there's this famous incident that many of you know about when Jesus and his disciples, they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. I think it's at nighttime. And this big storm comes up and he's sleeping in the boat and the waves are crashing over the side of the boat. So they have to go and wake him up. They wake him up and they cry out this to him: "Save us, Lord. We are perishing." Were they in the midst of having a theological discussion with Jesus at that moment? Were they trying to say, "Lord Jesus, it suddenly occurs to us, save us from eternal damnation"? That's not what it was. They were saying in those moments, they needed Jesus' rescue. How about Philippians 1:19? Paul is writing Philippians while he is in prison. Some are in the midst of preaching on the outside, Jesus, but it says in that letter to the Philippians that it's because of envy and strife. Those circumstances that he was in, being in jail, other people preaching from, we would say, bad motives, those were things that were beyond his control. But Paul says to the Philippians, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers." Paul's saying that he knew that God's deliverance was going to come through other people's intercessory prayers, that God would hear those prayers, that God would respond. So we can help bring rescue, we can help bring deliverance to other people in their situations by our prayers. Masons, do you believe that? Okay, they're usually halfway around the world, and they believe that people's intercessory prayers will affect whatever they're in the midst of, this difficult situations that they're in the midst of. And it's the same thing for us. Sometimes the Lord's rescue is from circumstances. Sometimes it's from other people. In 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul asks the believers to pray that we will be rescued. He's asking them to pray that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men. So the Lord can do a rescue that is outside of us. It can be a situation. It can be other people. But it's also interesting that the Bible specifically says that God can rescue us. He can save us. He can deliver us from things that are internal, from things that are inside of us. So many people remember the story of the woman who came up behind Jesus. She had been suffering with a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had this problem, this condition. And so here's how the New Living Translation records what she said to herself when she's about at the point to touch his garment. "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Literally, that's just to help us to understand it the way that we talk. Literally, it says, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be saved." And again, she's not talking about eternal damnation type thing. She's talking about being rescued from the ailment from which she was suffering. So she had this physical problem and it was inside of her. The Lord can rescue us from a different type of internal problem, inner problem. He can rescue us from ourselves, a non-physical problem. Think about what the Apostle Paul cries out toward the end of Romans chapter 7, where he talks about his own battle with sin. "What a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death?" Other versions say, "deliver me." Other versions say, "rescue me." Paul's answer, many of you know, "thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the one who's going to save me from this. That's the one who's going to rescue me from this. And he doesn't mean in the by and by. He means right now, in my battle with sin, that Jesus will rescue me now. Then here's one last one from the Apostle Peter in his second epistle, 2 Peter 2:9. "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation." There are some that use trials that might be broadening it out a little bit. So the Lord does provide rescue in this life, rescuing us from judgment and condemnation that's coming in the future, absolutely. Rescuing us from hell, absolutely. But he also wants to provide rescue in this life from circumstances, from situations, from other people, and from ourselves. Earlier, we had a letter P, capitalized, all capitals there for you, saved from, rescued from the penalty of sin. Now we're going to emphasize a different letter P. We're also saved from and rescued from the power of sin. That has to do with this life right now. So what we're in the midst of looking at is his rescue in this life. And to think that God will rescue us, not just in the by and by, not just in what's coming, although that's supremely important, it's also that it should fill our hearts with praise, knowing that he wants to help us, he wants to rescue us, he wants to deliver us even now. There's one last aspect to kind of balance out all this. There's one last aspect to salvation, rescue and deliverance that I want us to think about. We have his rescue in this life, but the last thing that we're going to look at this morning is our perseverance in this life. Last week, we looked at the idea of God's choosing, his calling. So here's a verse that we showed you last week. Part of it, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. There's something for us that would be a mystery when it comes to God's salvation and rescue. He exists outside of time. So from his point of view, he knows exactly who is a son or daughter. He knows who is or is not born again. He knows who is not or is a follower of the Lord Jesus. And so this verse is saying that outside of time, that God chose believers for salvation. And yet the same verse is talking about things that happen in time. Can you see that? There's the process of sanctification. There's the process of growing in your belief, in your faith, in God's truth. Those things should be deepening in us. Those things should be growing in us. And that's taking place inside of time. So the Bible affirms these two perspectives. One is the perspective that God has. His is an unlimited perspective. Ours is much more limited. And ours is inside of time. So we would say, you know, when it comes to our faith, we waver, we go up and down. We hope that it's on a generally upward trajectory, that there's some sense of spiritual progress. It is to that human perspective that Paul refers to the believers at Philippi, and he says this to them, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Our Pew Bible, the New American Standard. This is how it is in the New Living Translation. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So we ourselves, as well as others, should be able to see the results of God's rescue of us. Hebrews 6, verse 9 uses a phrase really quickly, but it's a great phrase. It talks about things that accompany salvation. Simple as that. So if there are other people that we know of, that this should erase as we talk to people, this whole idea that some people use of that getting saved is the get out of hell card, right? Like in Monopoly, get out of jail. It's the get out of hell card, where some people refer to salvation and it seems like they're talking about it as if it were fire insurance. The norm is for seeing people, you and me, working salvation out, demonstrating the fact that we have been rescued by God. And then there's one last one I want to show you from the Apostle Paul. I think we need to see this not from a pious point of view, but a very realistic point of view. And what I mean by that is I think Paul knew, even for the early church, as he would write to them, that in that congregation, in this case it's the Corinthians, that in any given congregation, there was a mixture of people, spiritually speaking. Think that's true? Any congregation you go to, you're going to see a mixture of people. That may help you to understand what he says here towards the end of 1 Corinthians. He says, the gospel by which you are also, right, you're saved, if you hold fast the word, which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There's a sense of hanging tight onto the gospel. not just a quick embrace years ago, a hugging of the gospel and then kind of letting it go, but keeping a tight grip, a hold on it. And so all those things, those kind of verses that we've gone over, that's talking about, from our perspective, the need for perseverance when it comes to salvation in this life. And this is that we don't become presumptuous, so that we don't presume upon the salvation that we believe we have in the Lord Jesus. So from his perspective, God knows. He knows who he's truly saved. He knows who he has truly rescued. For us, I think sometimes there's a need for us to demonstrate perseverance in this life to show other people, sometimes even to convince ourselves, the salvation that we really do have. This is our main thought for the morning. The Lord is the one who can rescue us, not just from hell in the future, but from all sorts of things right now. Receive the rescue he offers. Receive the rescue he offers. If you've never received the Lord's rescue from the coming judgment, receive that rescue. It's coming for all of us. We all need that rescue. You know, I showed you that 1 Corinthians 15 verse. Right after verse 2, in verse 3, he goes on to say, this is the gospel. This is what you believed. That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. All of that according to prophecy and scripture. When a person believes that and receives that, if you've never done that, grab hold of that rescue, because there is judgment that is coming. There is condemnation that's coming. But for those of us in Christ, and most of us here this morning would say that we are in Christ, we need to act on our faith. We need to show that it's real. We need to show that rescue. We need to show that salvation. And even on a daily basis, humbly calling out to God, Lord, rescue me. And he has a purpose for all things. He may have us in circumstances that are way, way beyond our control. And he may have us there for a very good reason. I believe he does. I think he does it in love. But we can cry out. And sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. We're to humbly cry out to God for rescue from circumstances, from rescue from other people. We're to intercede the rescue for other people. We're to even pray for rescue from ourselves. That should fill us with gratefulness. That should fill us with praise. And that's why we're going to be singing very, very soon. Let's go ahead and pray now. Lord, we know that salvation is from you. You take absolute soul credit. There is not a person alive who can claim that on their own they can get salvation, they can get the rescue that you offer. And the choices are made clear. And I pray, Father God, that if there's anybody here who has not grabbed hold and held tight to the rescue that you provide in Jesus Christ, that they'll do it right now, that they'll do it today. And then it won't just to be a get-out-of-hell card, Lord, but that it will be a desire, a deep, deep desire to align ourselves with your purposes for us and for our nation, for this world, and that we will indeed show forth the things that are in keeping with your salvation. You want to rescue us not just from what's coming in the future, but also from things right now, to look to you to be constantly Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the one who provides all that we need, even rescue, even salvation in this life. We thank you for these great, great truths, Lord God. Encourage us and strengthen us so that we align ourselves with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.